title of the message for today is Boast in the Cross of Christ. What do you boast about? I mean, when we converse, we boast about a lot of things. I caught this fish. You know, we boast about a lot of things. What do you boast about? Really, what do you boast about in your life? What do you want others to know about you? Right? Let's say you did your hair and you want other people to notice you. You get a new car. You definitely want to know other people to notice that. What do you boast about? It's kind of interesting because the word boast, the original word has the root meaning of, get this, neck. Outstretched neck. And you could kind of picture it. You know? You're boasting, right? It means boast or glory in. What do you stretch out your neck about you? And it says in Psalm 75, verse 5, it says, do not lift up your horn on high and speak with haughty neck. Okay? Do not lift up your horn. That refers to worldly strength, honor, degree, and money. Do you boast about that? We do, right? Don't we? We boast about that, right? And Bible says, do not do that. Speak with haughty neck. Do not be proud. Do not boast about that. It's kind of interesting. We spent 7 months of 2022 studying this magnificent book called Galatians. And my heart rejoices. I'm very, very thankful. Does anybody feel thankful about studying Galatians? Could you say amen if you do? Amen. Only if you do. Could you say amen? I'm really thankful because it just brought a resolve in me. It brought a resolve in me. And title of the message is exactly that. I memorized this verse, Galatians 6:14, years ago. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, through which I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. I must have recited 1,000 times. May I never boast. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, through which I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. That's NIV translation. And I know it's reigning in me. And does this sound like a man who has a resolve? Does this sound like someone who is kind of like iffy? Or does it sound like a man who has some sort of resolve? And my question to you is, do you have a resolve? After spending 7 months of 2022, is there a resolve in you? Or you're still kind of like floating around? And I'm not trying to, you know, make fun of you or anything, but as a shepherd of this church, I really want to share this with you. Do you have a resolve? After studying something like Galatians. Paul is coming to the end or the closure of this significant gospel, which have triggered 16th century Protestant Reformation. I shared this before. You know, there are important things in history. Protestant Reformation is like, man, continental divide. The church was so corrupted. The Catholic Church was selling salvation, selling a way to be saved. Can you believe that? What a crooks. But they were doing that, actually, in the name of the church, in the name of Jesus. Yesterday, we had a prayer meeting, and then we go out to Hicksville area, and we share the gospel. And Sharon here? Oh, right in front of me. Sharon and I were talking to these Hispanic Catholic ladies right in front of our church. She lives right there. Lillian and Hilda? Yeah, Hilda and Lillian. And they have a pretty old Yorkie too, just like us, so we kind of connected. And we were talking about it, and she had a bulletin in her hand. She was just coming back from a Catholic church. She was just coming back from a Catholic church. And basically, you know, the attitude was, you believe what you believe, we believe what we believe. We believe in Jesus. You believe what you believe, we believe what we believe. So, you know, we don't give up easy, so we just continue to talk. So I ask her, so what do you believe? And she goes, oh, we don't go to heaven directly. We got to go to this place, purgatory. What happens there? Oh, we get cleansed, that we get washed. Oh, really? So how do you get cleansed and washed? And she goes, 10 commandments and doing good works. I was like, wow, this is exactly the Galatians. Can you believe this? She was just coming back from the church, Catholic church, and she has a bulletin in her hand, and she went to church all her life. She must have been in her 70s or 80s. And she believes, I don't go to heaven directly. I don't go to God directly, but I go to this place, kind of like an intermediate place, and I need to get washed. Oh, really? So how do you get washed? And he goes, 10 commandments and doing good works. Do you think Galatians is real? Absolutely is, people. This is what the church teaches. Do you understand that? It triggered Protestant Reformation in 16th century and awakened souls like Luther, Wesley, like so many, right? The Anglican Church, which was dead, was awakened by Wesley brothers and the Spirit of God. So many in history, and it was through the book of Galatians. And I shared this before. I personally came to understand the gospel myself some years ago through reading of Galatians. I was reading it, and it began to make sense. And I'm hoping to finish this exposition of the book by end of this month, which means this will be the last message in terms of content. And I'm off next week, and the week after, I'm just going to give a postscript message, and then we'll be done with Galatians. 2022, if you've been coming to New Heart, it was the book of Galatians, and what is your resolve? Do you have a resolve? Okay? So, what does and how does Paul, apostle of Christ and God himself, brings the closure to this book? It's very intriguing. You want to know that, right? So that's exactly today's text. Verse 11, he begins his closure like this. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hands. And you're probably thinking, what is going on here? Basically, this is what's going on. Paul probably up to this point of this letter, Galatians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, according to the custom of his days, he was writing the letter by a secretary, professional secretary or secretary, amanuensis. But now he's taking the pen from him and writing by himself with large letters. What does that mean? Emphasis. I want you to hear this. This is what I want you to know. That's what it means, right? So he takes the pen from his hand to write this postscript, a final exhortation or final word of grace. And Paul is basically saying, I really want you to hear. I really want you to hear. Okay? How heavily I emphasize the words, and this is what I want you to hear. Okay? So there it is. What does he talk about in this last closure section of this precious gospel of Galatians? The essence of Christianity. Essence. The nature of Christianity in two tenets. Just two tenets. Using John Stott's expression, I already use, is the gospel man's religion or God's religion? I think that's huge. Okay? And the second thing is Christianity about outward, or is it about inward? Is it about your outward things, or is it about your internal things? Okay, so those are the two things that he's going to explain. And let me read today's text just one more time. And basically, he's going to explain and answer this question, is Christianity the nature of Christianity outward or inward? How many of you think it is outward? Probably nobody, right? It's about transformation of your heart. How many of you think you change outside and your inside changes? No, it doesn't change like that. You're changed in the on the inside, and then you're changed your outside. Your whole life changes. That's Christianity. The other one is religion, and the latter is the gospel. So Paul answers and emphasizes this crucial question: outward, inward, gospel religion, man's religion. What do you believe in? So many people do religion. Religion, right? Again, by contrasting the Judaizers and himself. Again, by explaining man's gospel, which is represented by Judaizers, and the gospel, which is represented by himself. And the key word for man's religion, which represents all man's religion, is circumcision. And the key word for God's religion, which is represented here, is the cross of Christ. Do you see the contrast? Circumcision versus cross of Christ. Man's religion, God's religion. Outward, inward. Okay? So, if you think about it, man's religion and God's religion, which represents the only two religious systems ever existed in history, then and now. Even right now, there are man's religion and there are God's religion. Man's religion, which really is about what we human beings must do to go to God. Do you see that? Do you see the upward movement? What we have to do, what we must to do, reach God or to be saved. That's man's religion, which is represented by Judaism and Judaizers and circumcision. Okay? And on the other hand, God's religion, which is about what God has done. Very, very different. What we must do is man's religion, but God's religion is what God has done for you to be saved. Okay? Do you see the difference? It's very, very different. Very different dynamic. Continentally divided. One is man's religion, which includes all the religions of the world. And then there is God's religion, which includes the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that's clear. After spending 7 months studying Galatians. So is it inward or is it outward? And here is how Paul unpacks that question. Verse 12 and 13, he explains man's religion, Judaizers. Verse 14 and 15, he explains God's religion, explaining himself and the gospel. Okay, verse 12 and 13, explaining man's religion and the Judaizers. Verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. And only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Doesn't sound very good, right? They just want to show off. And they want to avoid persecution. That's why they are forcing circumcision on you. That's man's religion. Let me continue, okay? Verse 13. For even those who are circumcised, the teachers, the proponents of man's religion, Judaizers, even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. Wow. They tell you to keep it, but they don't keep it. What is that? What is that? Hypocrites. Liars. I want you to do this, but they don't do it. The truth of the matter is they can't do it. Right? So let me continue. But they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. In other words, look how many people are circumcised. Look at how many people are baptized. Look how many people are attending this church. Look how many people are joining the small group. Do you follow? That's what he is explaining. Let me explain. Those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. In other words, referring to the Judaizers who represents man's religion, who are saying you must be You must be circumcised in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. When Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the difference? One is outward, the other one is inward. Who's right? Unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. That's the Judaizers. Whereas Jesus said, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Can we think about circumcision? Is circumcision inward thing or outward thing? I mean, you know, we really don't know, in practice, but you know, you could think about this. Is it inward or outward ritual? Of course, circumcision is a God-given ritual, God-given to Abraham, which signifies a something very, very important. In fact, a covenant grace. It's a very important ritual. Has a great meaning. However, think with me. If there is no faith, if there is no relationship, what is circumcision? Nothing. Empty ritual. Nothing. Dead religion, basically. As we come to the New Testament, we know that the circumcision has been kind of transferred to baptism. And you were baptized last week. Now, is baptism outward or inward ritual? It's both. Without faith, without relationship, without being united with Christ, the baptism, you know, sprinkling water on top of their head, it doesn't mean anything. Priest, pastor does not save anyone by a ritual. Baptism is it has the meaning because you are saved. And because you are saved, because God has given you grace and faith, that's why you get baptized. You do not get baptized to be saved. I hope this is clear to you. Baptism signifies by faith we are united with Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. What an incredible truth that is. However, without faith, without internal, inward, heart change, that baptism itself is a dead ritual. How many of you, this makes sense? Would you say amen? It definitely makes sense, right? So is it about inward or outward? It's a very, very obvious thing. So then, here's the question. Why did Judaizers or these proponents of man's religion, which includes all the religions, right, represents all the religions, force Christians to be circumcised? And there are two reasons, and two very, very important reasons. Okay, number one, in verse 12, it says they wanted to make a good showing in the flesh. In other words, they want to show off. I try to show off. Do you follow? I want you to be circumcised. I want you to be baptized. I want you to take a discipleship training so I could tell other people, 100 people are joining discipleship. To show off in the flesh. Pretty bad, right? Verse 13 says, it says, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast. In other words, I want to stick my neck up because of you, because of your flesh. Pretty bad. Second reason is 12b, which is a little bit more significant, okay? Could you look at that? Those who want to make a good showing in the flesh, who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that, this is the reason, in other words, they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, we talked about this. If I preach the gospel of the cross, you will be offended. You're not going to like it. In fact, you're going to get angry. Unless God grace your heart and regenerate it, you're going to get very, very upset. Some of you are already uncomfortable, right? You want to walk out. You want this service to be over. And you're like, oh, stop. I don't want to hear this anymore. Why is that? Why is that? We already talked about this in length last time, but I want to explain it again because it is worth mentioning again. I want to give you the historical reason, but then I want to give you the real spiritual reason. Okay, let me begin with the historical reason. In Paul's day, in first century, when Jesus came along and he died and resurrected and ascended, and then the church has begun. But the entire world where the church was birthed is the background of Judaism, which represents the man's religion at the time, right? But if you consider Judaism, which is represented by Old Testament, which is God's word, and we learn that Old Testament has all the messages about God's religion, how God counted Abraham as righteous by faith. It was God's religion. It's grace religion. It's the supernatural religion. It is by faith you've been saved. Old Testament is about, has all the prophecies about Jesus' coming, his death, and his even resurrection. It's so interesting. This Wednesday, I saw this mate in the boat, and he has tattoo all over his body. Can you picture that? And it's very, very muscular and lean, right? And I didn't think much of it, but he took his shirt off in the boat, and I saw we were healed because he was pierced. I was like, wait a minute, that's Isaiah 53. And he has tattoo all over the place. And I said, Carl, that's Isaiah 53. Did you grow up in church? He said, all my life, until high school. And then I just left him. So we began to talk. Brothers and sisters, Isaiah, Old Testament, has all the prophecies and the word about Christ, about God's religion. However, what happened to Judaism? They were deviated from the truth. They were completely swayed away from the truth, from God's religion to man's religion. If you follow the law, in other words, based on your work and performance and achievement, you could be saved. It became a completely different thing. Do you see that? Deviated to completely different religion by stressing and teaching work-based righteousness earned by obeying the law, which is man's work and which is a lie. So when Christ came, right, and taught the gospel and the truth in the death and resurrection and the kingdom and how is this God's religion and how he said, unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jews and religious leaders and Judaism were threatened and they were jealous. So what did they do? They persecuted Christ and eventually killed him, right? Since then, anyone who would propagate and teach Jesus and this new religion of the gospel of God, they were enemies to this, to the Jews and the Judaizers. Do you catch that? That's the historical reason. That's what happened to Stephen. That's what happened to Paul. That's what happened to everybody throughout history who preached the gospel. They wanted to kill. Okay? These Judaizers who are advocating the circumcision and committing to the obedience to the law in order that they may not be persecuted. But that principle is true right now. If I don't preach the cross of Christ and offend you, you're not going to mind me. But if I continue to preach the word and offend you at the core, you're not going to like me. In fact, you're going to hate me. Okay? That's what we learn in Galatians. That's the historical reason. That's the historical view. But what's the real reason, the deeper spiritual reason? The spiritual reason is this. The message of the cross, it offends all human being at the core. It's going to offend you. It offends you until you are fully broken and surrender to Christ. Okay? Let me explain. It offends at the core because cross of Christ says you're a sinner. You're not right. You're not righteous. You're not good. You're bad. In fact, you are totally bad, totally corrupted. There is no hope in you. You cannot save yourself. You're hopeless. That's what the cross of Christ tells you. And you get offended. Not only that, you are a sinner who are totally depraved and impossible to save yourself. Not only that, you are under a curse of God. You will stand before the judgment of God and you will pay for what you have done in your life. That's what the cross of Christ tells you. Okay, have I offended you enough? Not only that, therefore, you must humble yourself. You must turn. You must to surrender without any conditions attached. That's what the cross of Christ speaks to you. You are such a sinner, impossible to save yourself. You, in fact, your enemy to God. And yet you will stand before the judgment of God. That's what the cross of Christ speaks to you. That's why it offends you. Right? These are the most profound insult or the offense to a self-loving, self-glorifying, autonomous, sin-dominated human being like you and I without the grace of Christ. Someone who is not regenerated, continue to come to New Heart, it's a painful process. So painful, right? Because you get offended every single week. So these Judaizers, let me just share what John Stott shares, okay? I share this this week through Kakao. John Stott wrote, "Nothing in history or in the universe cuts you down to size like the cross." Right? All of us have inflated views of ourselves, especially in self-righteousness. You think you're pretty good people. I think I'm a pretty good person. But cross will cut you down to your real size. Okay? Until we have visited this place called Calvary, it is there at the foot of the cross that we shrink. We shrink. Nobody gets, like, inflated. At the foot of the cross, we shrink to our true size. Have you been there? Have you been there? Is that the place that you view yourself? If not, you have an inflated view, a false view of yourself. Okay, that's what he's saying. So there, Judaizers, man's religion, preaches and advocates man's way of salvation. Works, well, by doing works, which is not God's way. So can I state this very clearly? Therefore, all these men's religion, all the religion, are false religions, and they're lies. It has to be, if you think about it. It has to be. With all due respect, I don't know exactly what that means, but all the religion is their lies. And it will take you to darkness and destruction, according to God's word. Okay. I remember going to London. I forgot which year, 6-7 years ago. And last week, this missionary from London came to visit us, right? Daniel Che. And who's been a missionary in London for 40 years. Can you believe that? 40 years in London. And we went there to basically do street evangelism. And we were divided into groups of 3 or 4. And we spent about 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon, just knock on the door of these apartments, like in Flushing, for example. It is like Flushing. There are a lot of, like, Middle Eastern people, Asians, and some whites too, but we went evangelism. And it was me and a sister from this church and this English woman. Three of us were, walking around. And I was knock on this door. And someone opened the door, and he was the liman. And basically what that is an elder of a Muslim church. And he invited us in. So we walked in, right? And we spent about an hour and 30 minutes in his apartment. And basically, he invited us in because he thought this was an opportunity for him to share his truth to us. So he begins to speak to us for like 95% of the time. We're listening, listening, listening. He doesn't give us a chance to speak. But I said to myself, Lord, give me a chance to share something. Spirit of living God, would you give me a chance to share something? So he spent like 50 minutes just keep talking about how great his religion is, how Christianity stings. And he really was saying that. And then when he was about done, our church member, our sister, basically said, his name was Muhammad. Muhammad, I have a question for you. Muhammad, does your God Allah love you? Does your God Allah love you, Muhammad? He couldn't answer. So here's my opportunity, I thought. Muhammad, I have a question. Are you ready to stand before Allah? And do you have the confidence and assurance of your salvation? And of course he doesn't. If it is all word-based, of course he doesn't. So he lives in fear, actually. All the religion is fear-driven. Do you see that? I got to be better. I got to do enough to make the cut. It's a fear-driven. It's a duty-driven. But not the gospel. Gospel is not like that. The difference between all the religion and Christianity, you have an assurance of salvation. How do you know that, Pastor? Because of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit that you are my child. When? Every single day, people. That's why you have an assurance of salvation when you are rebirthed and born again in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 3. But all the other religions, you gotta, because it's all work-based, you gotta make the cut. So how do you know when you have done enough? In fact, you know you can't do what you want to do, right? Because you really cannot keep up with the law. So they always feel short. They always feel not going to make it, guilty, fearful. That's all the religion people. That is true inside the church too. You know, we were praying yesterday before we went out to evangelism. 11 of us went out for evangelism. And I was just praying. And allow me to share this. I was thinking, there are a lot of people who come to church with 70% and 30% attitude. And then there are people who come to church with 30%, 70% attitude. Some of you probably get what I'm trying to say. There are a lot of people who have majority of their life, 70% of their life, to church and Christ and whatnot. Bible study, listening to MacArthur and whatever. But 30% no. And then there are people, group of people who are like 30% kind of committed to church. But majority of it's not. But it's in the world. This is just me praying, thinking, right? And the thought that comes to my mind is those two categories are the same category. They're not different categories. They're same categories. Not different categories. Because they're all Christ plus something. Either way, they're Christ plus something. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to share with you at this finish and closure of this great Galatian gospel. Do you have a resolve in your life? Or are you just going to continue to float around, whether it is 70% out or 30% out? There's no difference. Okay. One more thing in this outward man's religion. Verse 13 says, for even though those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, they propagate it. I want you to be circumcised and I want you to keep all the law. You must do that to be saved. But they themselves cannot do it. What is that? Hypocrites. All the religion is about hypocrites. Outside and inside is completely different. Outside, it may look religious, ethical, but inside is so corrupted. is so rotten. Because without the blood of Christ and renewing power of the Holy Spirit, you will never be changed. Right? And Romans Gospel says, not only you can do the law, you don't want to do the law. That's our human nature, sinful nature. Self-glorifying, self-exalting, autonomous, kingship of myself. And you're telling me I'm a sinner and I need to come down from that throne and repent before you? Forget it. That's why you hate that kind of message. That's why you cannot sit still. Right? So we talked about assurance of salvation, and my question to you is, do you have assurance of salvation? And I'm not taunting you. I am not. As a shepherd of this church, I really want to ask you, the Spirit of God speaks to you that you are a child of God? Or do you feel like you need to do more? I need to go to Bible study. Yes, I got to start going to Bible study. Do you feel like that? Do you see the difference? If you think about it, these religious systems, they can't do it themselves and keep telling you to do it so that I could boast. See what's happening? You're inside, you're dark, and you are insufficient, and you are fearful, but outside you try to boast. That's pretty pathetic, isn't it? That's pretty sad picture of life, religious life, because they are following the lies. They are following the lies. What about God's religion? What's about Paul's religion? Okay, verse 14 and 15. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't boast about how many circumcisions. I don't boast about like how many people discipleship. I only boast about Christ. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, by which the world has been crucified to me. What does that sound like? Does that sound like a resolved man? Or does it sound like 70-30% person? Does that sound like 30-70% person? It doesn't sound like that at all, people. Through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. The world, what they think of me, what they try to tell me, will not alter me. Because I'm so resolved to boast and follow the cross of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. And that's what I believe it's what Christianity is. And then this incredible statement, verse 15, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision. Are you baptized, not baptized? Did you go through discipleship or not through discipleship? Are you a deacon or no deacon? Count for nothing. Only thing that counts is a new creation. Did you know that? We try to boast about something external. But only thing that God counts is something at the core of you. Okay? As for all who walk by this rule, canon, peace and mercy be upon them and upon Israel of God. Okay? So here's the key statement of all Christianity. Listen carefully, people. With a large letter, I want you to listen. And he's writing to you. Circumcision, uncircumcision, doesn't matter. Only thing that counts is a new creation. Which means, were you born of the Spirit? Not how long you went to church. Not my parents are pastors or elders. Not how much you serve. Doesn't count anything. Judaizers will say, unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. But Jesus comes alone. God himself comes. And this is what he said. Listen carefully in John chapter 3, verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not. You go to different church and try to hear different thing, what Jesus is saying. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, they said, unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. But Jesus is saying, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Come down to verse 7, he says, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. There is no stronger expression. You must be born again. Okay. If you read the Gospels, there's only three must. Son of Man must be lifted up. And you must be born again. Right? Gospel of Galatians summarizes everything. Let me just state it once. Summary, okay? Clearly it states that Christian salvation and the gospel is by grace, through faith, in Christ alone, which is only by the Spirit of God, God's religion. Bringing to understanding for you to turn. You must turn, right? Washing and repentance. And therefore, you would want to run to Christ and you want to live for him. And in Christ alone. Then what happens? The Spirit of God, who is God, lives in you. And he guides you, leads you, and your whole outlook changes. You are no longer sowing your life and you want to live for your flesh, which will corrupt. But you would want to sow and live for something that will matter, which is in the Spirit. I'm just summarizing the book of Galatians. So is Christianity man's religion or God's religion? Really asking, is it about what you do? Or is it about what God has done? I hope this is clear. I really pray that this is clear to you. Even in today's, our days, 21st century, this era is continuing. People do not preach the cross of Christ. They always preach Jesus plus social work. We need to bring better world. Really? Do you really care about that? You need to be really passionate. You need to do this. You need to join that. None of that. None of that. Even right now, this era and this lie is just so prevalent. Like the medieval church throughout history, like the 18th century Anglican church, until Wesley Brothers and Whitfield comes and bringing a complete revival. And even right now, people, don't fall into the lies and false religions. Christianity is God's religion. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, through which I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. So the essence of Christianity for Paul is the object of this boasting of cross of Christ. Can you imagine you try to boast about Christ and your flesh at the same time? Can you do that? Can you imagine preaching prosperity and resurrection at the same time? Can you do that? You really can. They just cannot coexist together. It's one or the other. It's not 70-30% or 30-70%. It's 100% or nothing percent. I want to just close. True and false religion, Galatians clearly defines. Man's religion or God's religion? Outward religion or inward religion? What do you believe in? Where do you stand? Do you have an assurance of salvation? Or you feel like you need to do more? Okay. Circumcision or the cross of Christ? Right? Circumcision, which stands for all the outward man's religion by our own achievement and works, which are lies. And it'll take you to destruction. every religion. And then there is cross of Christ and the new creation, right? It is the finished work of Christ on the cross that saves us, and it is the inward work of the Holy Spirit that changes us. That's it. That's the summary. To regenerate us and to sanctify us. That's it, people. And one last point. And as for all who walk by this rule, the word for the rule is canon. Which rule is that? Which is only by the Spirit of God, only by grace, and only by the Spirit of God. If you walk by this canon, that's a very important word in Christian history, the canon of the Scripture, which refers to measuring rod. The word canon means measuring rod. In other words, God measures you with that measure. Do you believe in man's religion or God's religion? Are you regenerated by the Spirit or not? That's the canon. That's the only canon. Did you go to discipleship? Did you go to New Heart? Did you go to full gospel? No, none of those. Only rule that matters is, as for all who walk by this rule, canon, there's going to be peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. We are the Israel of God. Church is the Israel of God. My brothers and sisters, we're finishing up Galatians. Do you have a resolve? 70-30%? 30-70%? Same category. It has to be all to Christ or not. Let's pray.